just huge. I mean, it's like a man. It's big.
Cain, son.
You still don't understand what you're dealing with, do you? Perfect organism.
Just tell me one thing, Burke. You're going out there to destroy them, right? Not to study. Not to bring back. But to wipe them out.
That's the plan. You have my word on it.
All right, I'm in.
Let's run!
Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair.
Welcome to Perfect Organism, the Alien Saga podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Prater, and I'm joined by my co-hosts,
Patrick Green,
Christian Motzka,
Andy Geek Girl,
and our guest today, our wonderful guest, Adam Ezekiel. Welcome back to the show, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
And we're kind of, we don't really know, there's not been much news. We're just kind of hanging out now.
Slow day.
We are here to discuss, obviously, the trailer that dropped today. Just for the record, so yesterday, I'm en route to an island in Vancouver, which is where I'm at right now, Hornby Island. And I get first an attempted phone call by Adam, but I was on a bus and I couldn't answer. And then he sent me he said, hey, the trailer's going to drop tomorrow. I'm like, how do you know? So then you sent me the Fede Alvarez IG post or the story. And it just kind of took off from there. And then someone else in the know also messaged me saying, hey, there's a trailer going to drop tomorrow. And I was like, awesome. So, and then at what time this morning the trailer dropped? I don't know, like 9 a.m. Pacific?
So it was like noon Eastern.
Yeah.
Which is exactly when we were predicting it was going to happen because, so, you know, we knew this trailer was coming today. We knew a teaser trailer of some kind was coming today. And this morning, we're all taking bets about when it's going to drop. And all of us had, like, horrible conflicts. Like, Christian was at an eye appointment. Andy was dissecting brains as a hobby. I was in, like, a five-hour-long meeting. And we're all like, it's going to happen sometime where all of these things intersect and none of us can watch it. And it ended up being pretty accurate. But I got to say, like, we're going to talk tonight. We're going to break this down a lot. We're going to go through what we see. We're going to not go outside the lines of that because we're, again, being very careful with spoiler territory. We know some things that, you know, are not quite in this teaser yet. Of course, there's a trailer coming soon, too, which is another exciting development today, is we found out that he also has a trailer that's on deck for release pretty soon. One would imagine for Alien Day, which is, you know, just over a month away from now. So we're going to go through a lot of stuff. We're not going to get into spoilers, but we're going to definitely be reveling in this incredible moment, which is for the first time in 7 years, we have a new Alien trailer to be talking about. And what a amazing teaser. I keep saying trailer. It's a teaser. This thing is. And I when you started the episode off, Jamie, just now, I forgot my name for a second because I had scrolling down far enough on the Hollywood Reporter article to get to the image of the creature, like looking at the camera. And I'm just like sitting here smiling like a fucking idiot. Because it looks so good. And because I'm like so excited. This has been a very exciting day. And I'm really glad that we get to share it together.
So how do we talk about this? What do we do? Where were you guys when this dropped? I know Christian, Patrick, you were in a meeting. Andy, were probably at school.
Yep.
I just finished
class.
I was home and Adam was blowing my phone up.
Yeah, I spoke with Chris, with Christian before, and we were kind of betting on when is the common time that they usually release the trailers, and we spoke about noon. And the thing is, since my workshop is basically in my home, so I'm on the computer pretty much all the time, and I saw it was just around, just when the clock turned noon, Fede posted, it was the poster.
And the poster. The poster hit first.
Did you see that? And we thought, wait, is that it? Just the poster? Are we getting just the poster right now? Or is there more? And like 10 minutes, 15 minutes after that, the trailer drops. So
it was the tease to the teaser. Exactly. For sure.
Yeah. I was really worried. Are we just getting the poster? Is that it?
So yesterday, Disney Plus put out the trailer for The Acolyte, the new Star Wars TV show, around 11:30. And so I thought, even though 20th Century and Disney or Lucasfilm are separate, they're under the Disney umbrella, maybe there'll be a similar release. And it was. It was a half hour, 45 minutes later. But I put the poster up immediately on our Facebook page, and there's a certain amount of grumbling, like, wait, is this it? But no, sure enough, the teaser came very soon after. Now, early this morning, people were posting about the fact that if you took Fede's post from yesterday where he just said tomorrow and you messed with the picture image, you could see an alien. And to my mind, it just looked like he'd grabbed a still from Aliens. But now that we have the trailer, people are comparing and saying, no, 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 this actually is the same alien from the very end of the teaser. And so he actually gave us, if you had eagle eyes, you got to see the new Xenomorph first as of last night. Did you guys see that?
I did. Actually, Dane Hallett posted about the screenshot, the black screenshot that Fede had released to his Facebook page saying, you know, hey, look, which I thought was funny that Dane would post it because obviously Dane worked on the film. He's in the know, but he was as surprised as everyone else was. But yeah, that was interesting. What do you guys think about the poster?
I think it's good. I think it's simple, clean. It's like it has the main element there is the monster, which is, you know, is not a surprise anymore. We all know how it looks like. So it makes sense to, okay, that's not the shock factor. I guess there's going to be something else. So just put it on the poster. Makes sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think, like I was saying when we were texting, I like the simplicity of you guys really want the alien back. We hear you. We know it. It's here. And I like the element of the drool because it's kind of like, you know, we're drooling for a good film at this point.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, yeah. I can relate to this. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I mean, it does the job. It's like Andy, you were saying in text that kind of making people aware that this is the film that you're going to get. This is an alien film. And just kind of show people. It seems a little bit obvious to me. I would have preferred like something a little bit more mysterious, maybe the interior of one of the space stations or a ship or something, but it works. That looks like a teaser poster. Does not look like a final poster.
I'm just glad it's not the Covenant poster again, where it's wildly divergent from the actual content of the film. Clearly there will be an alien in this film, and here it is on the poster. And so, you know, those things add up just fine for me.
I'm kind of surprised at how similar it is, though, to the theatrical release poster for Covenant with the run.
Yes.
Run, hide. It's almost identical to that. Just the framing of the creature is a little bit different. For Covenant, that felt super fresh to me, actually. I really loved that you could kind of barely... I actually have it on the wall behind me, and you can't even, like... Unless you're kind of looking at it up close, you can't even tell there's anything in the image. I kind of like that. For this, I'm struck by how much better the imagery that's in the teaser is than this particular kind of generic creature shot. Like there's a lot of really already iconic things in the teaser that we saw, like just amazing images, like the blood in the cryopod. Like that's a poster right there. Right. There's a lot of things that I think, you know, he could have pulled from if he'd wanted to. Mm-hmm. That being said, I'm not going to complain about it. I mean, I love Alien, you know, more than, you know, most people do. Like, I think we all are in that boat. We all love the creature. Like that is great to see it. But it would have been cool to see something more kind of iconic and a little bit more different. But what was so funny is, you know, so I was in this meeting, which I like could not get out of. And I was like desperately, these guys know, I was like desperately trying to find it, an excuse. I was like, should I say I have to go to the bathroom and then like watch it on mute in a bathroom somewhere? So I said I had to go out to the car and I watched it in the car. But because I couldn't watch it right away, I had to wait like 40 minutes or something. There, I got to like witness what Adam was just talking about happening in real time, where like everybody was like, here it is, here it is, here it is. And then it was like silent for a couple minutes. And everybody was like, is the poster the only thing happening? And then nobody said anything for like 5 minutes. And then the trailer link came and everybody's like freaking out. It was quite a roller coaster, you know? I was saying, joking last night, I was really hoping that like Fede wasn't just announcing he was getting a vasectomy or something, like that this was like actually about the movie. And it turned out to be, and I didn't know until Dane had posted that with the contrast changed that you were talking about. That was the first time that like, I was like, this is obviously 100% happening. And then I texted like everybody I know in the world. And I was like, tomorrow's the actual day that this trailer is going to come. What's so fascinating, I think, and you know, we should kind of get into discussing the actual, I think, the stuff that we saw soon also. What's so interesting is because we've been so starved for content, as Andy put it, you know, we've been drooling for it for such a long time. There was genuine confusion because like we haven't had any imagery from the film released at all other than that promotional thing, you know, forever ago. So like we really had no idea what was happening today. A lot of the time nowadays, you know, we get these teasers for teasers that come out where you have a 10-second spot air during something that says like trailer drops in 4 days, you know, and then you sit and 4 days later the teaser comes out and you're like, that's what I just saw 4 days ago, but whatever. This time, I love how it was like, this is the beginning of it. And Fede talked about that. He did this wonderful interview, which, you know, you can see find on YouTube pretty easily with this other podcast, unfortunately, not this podcast, where he talks about how, you know, this has been something that it's like the thing he's been most excited about in his entire life. And he hasn't been able to like share anything from it for so long. So for him, today was so special because it was like the moment he was able to show the world like his greatest thing, the thing that he's most proud of. So just, you know, I want to take a moment also to recognize for Fede, for Dane, for the art department, for Kaylee Spaney, for, you know, everybody that's been involved in this for such a long time now. Today's a really special day for them because as frustrated as we have been about not getting access to any imagery or anything, imagine like putting the wraps on this thing 7 or 8 months ago and not being able to say anything until now. It's a huge day for them as well. I think it's an exciting day in fandom.
Yeah, I live for this. Like, I mean, I was telling my friend who I'm staying with here in Canada that this is one of the reasons why the show is here, is for days like this. I mean, this is to be able to experience virtually this trailer drop with all of you and then fandom is just great. And it's at a time where the IP is really undergoing change. It's being rebooted in some ways or being brought back to its roots. Like, oh my gosh, like I can't even. Yeah, it's great. And I mean, I guess we should just get right into it, right? Like with the trailer, like it opens up with a, looks like a shuttle moving towards a space station there's like rings from a planet coming around. That image right there, like I've seen like in Rogue One, you see rings, the rings of a planet, but I've not seen what I've seen in that trailer to that type of detail. It was just beautiful and atmospheric and everything felt, dirty and rough and like it should, like an alien film should. It was just beautiful.
That shuttle has two very, very tiny Weyland-Yutani logos on it. One on the door where it's going to dock and then another little one on the side. And that continues throughout the whole trailer. We have a lot of the James Cameron Weyland-Yutani, you know, iconic logo pops up in places. Sometimes one of the characters has it on his uniform, things like that. But now, along with the poster and this teaser and the interview on the podcast, also today, Fede was interviewed by, help me out, what website was it?
Hollywood Reporter?
Who cares? Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah, I'm Hollywood Reporter. No. So we had four things today. And so in the Hollywood Reporter interview, Fede Alvarez says they used so much practical effects for the creatures and models. He talks about both models and CGI. So I'm looking at this and I'm seeing very, very beautiful CG, but maybe I'm not. Maybe we're actually seeing some model work. It's just fascinating to think that when we're sitting in the theater, there's going to be a mix of those two things. We're going to have the old and the new. So sure, the ship docks. What happens then?
It's similar to the Covenant, the first Covenant trailer, in my opinion, where you hear voices, you hear talking, you hear screaming, you hear women talk, like, get it, you know, get that thing away from me. You can hear some type of trauma is going on, like bodily trauma, but you're not seeing anything again. And you hear the klaxon. So it's very similar to the trailer for Covenant, but of course it goes in a wildly different direction. And then you see the cryo, I think is the first thing we really see, right? The cryo with all the blood in it.
It is, but I want to move back for a second. Adam, go ahead.
Oh, that corridor, like this long sweep of a corridor, very reminiscent of Alien Isolation kind of architecture. And I, even though it's a little, it's a f- kind of a fast sweep, but it's still like a slowish sweep of a, you know, of a set, which I love. That's kind of, I feel like he's kind of given us like hints of, you know, the those signature tells of, you know, of Alien, like these long sweeping shots of the sets. I love that. I feel like that was really him trying to tell us something.
Yeah. If I think there were two separate corridors, like the first shot was more illuminated, mm-hmm. and then there was like the darker, the door had a different shape, which I guess hints at what he was mentioning in the one of the interviews. I think it was the podcast interview where he talked about how there was like either two space stations or parts of the station, which I found intriguing.
I think he said in the interview that there were two docked space stations, and one was like new, more sleek, and the other one was like older technology kind of thing. So you have kind of these two types of set finishes, I guess.
And that's exactly what we're seeing here. And I'm really glad that you're pointing that out. Before we actually move on that further, I just want to call one thing out, which is, as a couple of us have mentioned before we started recording, there's actually additional footage at the beginning of the teaser that you can only see on 20th Century's Instagram post of this thing. So I'm bookmarking that for now because it's kind of out of nowhere. But I want to make sure we don't forget to kind of circle back, because there's actually a lot of clues, I think, about what's going on in that imagery. And just to what Jamie was saying about the intro with that beautiful ship coming into dock, there's actually more clues in that too, right? So we know that we have like this shuttle that's incoming that looks like a pretty small craft. It looks almost kind of like the Betty from Resurrection, God forbid. But also it looks a little bit like the Jude from, you know, a certain film you may have recognized. And it's coming into what's very clearly an orbital space station. It's like a space station that's, you know, a concentric ring, which there's precedent, of course, in Aliens for that, which is really exciting. But I love that we're already kind of getting new ship designs right from the beginning. Like, it makes me feel really great. It makes me feel like Ron Cobb is back in the house again. It looks really good. And then, of course, we have these creeping shots down the hallway that you're all mentioning, which I love. And I want a couple quick points about that. When we talked about Fede Alvarez directing these films, one of the things that I kept like obsessing over was how I love that in Don't Breathe, he does these beautiful slow dolly shots or slow steady cam shots where he slowly goes through spaces and shows you very carefully what's in them, because they kind of come back to bite the characters, sometimes literally. And in this one, this is a great example of that. We're moving backwards very, very, very slowly and imperceptibly at the eye level of like a child. Like, we're right above the ground, slowly moving back through these environments. What I love is that it cues a few things in for us, right? One is we are retreating from something. It feels like we're kind of backing away from something down the hallway, and we're hearing all these terrible things happening, but we can't see it. And we get the sense, because the hallway is curved, especially in that first shot, that what's happening is like somewhere just around the curve, and we can't see it, and we don't want to be able to. So we're just slowly backing up. And that sense of dread, like that sense of palpable fear, that's why I'm here. Like, that's why I'm doing this podcast, you know, for years now, because that's what Alien says. Like, that's what it feels like. I fucking love that so much. I also love how, like, both of you just said a moment ago, Adam and Andy, that clearly the first shot in the hallway we have is the Romulus station, which is the more modern one. Something that that he talks about in the interview that he did on that other podcast, which I'm not saying their name because I'm like dissing them. I just don't remember what the name of the podcast was. I'm sorry. And this is a raw episode, so, you know, bear with me. But what Fede was saying was one of the reasons he loved setting it between the events of Alien and Aliens, he says it 20 years after Alien, which is, of course, 37 years before Aliens, is that it allows him to play in this sandbox where technology is kind of in this midpoint, where some things are still kind of, you know, held over from the Alien era. Some of the technology that we see in Aliens is kind of new at that point, and it's being developed. It's not quite as lived in yet. It's not quite as old. So Romulus, being the newer ship or the newer station, I'm not really sure which, is like, you can see right in the shot, it's much wider. It actually looks like the terraforming colonies a little bit to me. Like, it looks, it has this kind of like open quality. And then I love how the next shot is, it's unmistakably Alien. Like Adam said, it looks like Isolation to me. And it is just dark and foreboding and hexagonal and scary. And it's just like, oh, it's just amazing. And then I love how like we go from that, so it gets darker and tighter, and then we move from that into the space where we can't fucking see anything anymore, and then we find ourselves in a cryo bay. And that, of course, is like this beautiful reveal, because we have this moment where, as Alien fans, we're like, oh my God, like that's like, I know what that is. I recognize this. I know where we are on the ship. And then you see the blood and the sense of like serious fear that engendered in me was incredible. I mean, I have watched that first 20 seconds, probably 15 times today. That scream that happens when we get to the blood and the cryopod. I mean, it's just like, oh, it's so good. Like, that is why I'm here. And that honestly is one of the main reasons I go to bat for Covenant so much still, because Covenant has moments in it like that for me. And again, like, that's why I keep gravitating towards these movies, is that sense of like absolute existential dread in space. And we have so much of that, even in just this little 60 something second teaser today. So we're in good hands, I think.
That was the moment where I knew I was in. Like, the second it panned to that, I'm like, all right, yep, I'm in. I like the hair. I got shivers, and I was like, "This is what I wanted to feel." So, that was my favorite part, was that slow reveal, and then it got lighter again with cryotubes, the white with the red, like the black going into the white and red, and the scream. Perfect.
And it feels like authentic fear. I mean, you guys have heard me talk about this ad nauseum on our show, wanting to see people actually terrified of what they're seeing, because they've never seen anything like it. And, you know, we've gone on about some of the prequels, and like the whole Ferris scene aside, which was really amazing. And there's real palpable fear in that scene in Covenant, but largely you don't see people afraid as they should be from these creatures, especially in Covenant. They're not really afraid. These things would terrify the shit out of us. And that's what I'm seeing in this trailer. These kids terrified. And I mean, just their performances, even in that 60 seconds, were like, okay, this is how you react. This is how you react to these circumstances. This is how you direct one of these films. And just, it just looked like home, you know? And it's been a long time since I felt that way about Alien, honestly.
So just to piggyback on that, Fede clarified something that a lot of fans have been a little wary of, which is, why is this cast so young? And so in this interview, the written interview, he was saying it actually comes from the extended cut of Aliens, seeing the children on the colony with the big wheel and thinking about them, you know, what would that life be like when you're stuck on this place? You weren't born there. Maybe you were born there. You didn't choose to come there. And the planet isn't going to be terraformed for 50 more years. So your whole life is in this space where you don't have very many options unless you grow up and take over your parents' job. So he wanted to take that idea and bring them into their early 20s, in part because he was making a point about how people in their 20s, they're not grown up yet, but they're not children, and they make somewhat irrational choices, I think. But so we have this group of people, this group of young people who they're clearly on a planet, and I don't think they're supposed to be going to this station. I think that it's kind of a gambit. They're hoping to do something or go somewhere. They've made a rash decision. And so now they're on this thing. But I think that makes so much more sense, instead of it just being, you know, a bunch of attractive 20-somethings, that there really is a reason that you have this particular demographic. And again, in the same article, they specifically name two of the characters. Kaylee Spaney's character is named, Rain is her first name, and I just lost her last name.
Shipley. I'm kidding.
No, Corrigan or Kerrigan?
Carradine.
Carradine. Yes, like Keith Carradine. Okay, yes. So Rain Carradine, and then Isabel Merced's character is named Kay, K-A-Y. And if you remember back to those leaked, I don't know if we want to go there. There's one other character whose name we know because these other names have added up, but maybe we're not going to talk about that?
Yeah, we don't need to.
Okay.
Oh, no spoilers.
Yeah.
You're seeing this in real time, audience, because we're not editing this episode. That's how careful we're being about what to say and what not to say.
But they also, in that same interview, he talks about, he mentions that quite a bit about how he doesn't want to give too much away in the trailer, which I love. That they're not giving us, like, you know, those movie trailers where you can basically have the whole plot of the entire film in there. And that, oh, he also mentioned, this was important, that none of his favorite shots are in this trailer. He didn't give us, you know, he didn't crop the best of the best and put it in the trailer. This is not, these are not his favorite shots.
Which is why there appears to be a spoiler in this trailer, right? The whoever the character is played by the actor Eileen Wu, something happens to her very graphically in the trailer, but we see a quick cut previously of what may be the end result, where something is being pulled out of her throat. So if he doesn't want spoilers in the film, and he promises that this trailer, this teaser is not spoiling the film, I don't think that we're seeing what we think we're seeing. I think there's more to the story.
Yeah, that's a different woman. That's a different face. If you look at her face and you look at Eileen's face, she's bald, number one.
Eileen Wu is the bald Asian woman.
Yeah, she's the bald Asian woman. But I think the woman were the, I assume a face hugger is being pulled out of her. It's very gross, very sick, very Giger-esque, very kind of grossly sexual. That's not Eileen Wu, I don't think.
Very Giger-esque.
It definitely, I'm looking at it right now, and it definitely looks like the same person. But we don't know. It is a teaser. We don't know.
It's a teaser. There's only one.
I think it's important. One thing that Fede said in his interview, amongst many things, is talking about what the film is. And he said, this film is connected to the other films. He said, I love the other films. I love the mythology. And I wanted this to connect. And they called it kind of an interquel, which is a strange word. I'd use the term sidequel, but that's a weird word too. But I'd liked hearing that. I liked hearing this definitive, this is what this film is in terms of where it's set and what it's connected to. Because as we all know, we come from a bit of a history in the past few years of, what is this movie? Is it an alien movie? I don't know. Or, you know, or then promoting a film just with a bunch of aliens and we only see like really one, essentially. So it was really good to hear him clarify where this film stands. I also thought that that shot with the tube coming out of the woman's throat, it's very Fede Alvarez. Like, if there's a shot on his Instagram where you see the turkey baster, it just reminds me of like his kind of gross humor a little bit. Cause he, you know, he grosses people out with the things that he does. So it's going to be interesting to see where that goes in this film.
That is the best shot in this teaser. And I don't mean that in terms of art, but I mean it in terms of like everybody who sees that is disturbed like instantly from it. And that's what Alien needs. Like Alien needs moments like that are transgressive and frightening and strange. And you have to wrap your head. I mean, the first time I saw that, I was like, whoa, it is super disturbing. The proboscis coming out of her throat. And that brings me to kind of, as we're going through this teaser, you know, a major theme of it that emerges right after the part we were just talking about, the cryotube, is we have a character say run, which again is a very Covenant moment. And then we have basically facehugger Mageddon start. And this is something that we knew was coming because we knew that, you know, that there's going to be huggers in this, you know, that's something that has been alluded to in some areas. And it turns out to be true because there's like hundreds of facehuggers apparently running in the space station, and they are acrobatic and flying and scary and skittering. And they look great. You know, there's no way that those are practical, at least the ones that are flying through the air, but they look really good to me. But then I want to take you to my favorite shot in the whole thing, which is right after that, where we have a character who's walking down that Nostromo hallway, which I'm assuming is going to be on Remus. And she's like walking into this bright light and it just flashes really quickly. She's like walking away. It's a very kind of Blade Runner 2049 moment, you know, where it's the same perspective basically. But I love that because it reminds me of Annihilation, which is a movie that we talk about constantly on this podcast in terms of what we hope Alien can feel like. And to me, like that's exactly because she's walking like inexorably drawn towards some bright object that we can't see. Like there's something drawing her in. And that's like, again, it's just drawing me towards the frame. Like I'm staring at it and wondering what she could be walking towards, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Again, you know, in great horror, you want to confuse people. So, you know, you give them something like Andy was, you know, beautifully pointing out earlier with the cryo, like that's a moment of lightness. So you are lulled into this sense of like, oh, we got out of the hallway. Thank God. And then it's actually the scary part. Likewise, imagery like that is really good. She's walking towards something bright. We associate that with walking towards something good, but what if she's not? And that I think is like that kind of image really sticks with me a lot.
I even like her positioning there and like her hands They're open. The fingers are, you can see each individual one. It's just very graphic and illuminating. Like the whole silhouette of her, I think, reeks of curiosity and fear in that one shot. I agree with you. I think it's a very cool shot.
I'm pretty sure that's Isabella Merced in that, that's walking. And, you know, we see the footage of her crying and screaming, and that's her audio at the beginning. So we don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, she has hinted, she did an interview when she was on the press tour for that Spider-Woman movie, that something happens that's very, very graphic and everyone else had to turn away, but she thought it was fantastic. So this may be part of that. You know, it's an alien movie. People are definitely going to die in gross ways. Speaking of misdirection, though, at the end, you know, we have the Kaylee Spaney shot where she's holding this prototype pulse rifle, which is very fascinating. And she definitely has that Ripley quality that we love and also are always a little bit, you know, alarm bells go off of, you know, they're not trying to make another Ripley, are they? Although Xander from the podcast pointed out that the cut of her shirt is actually way more like Kyle Reese in the first Terminator, which I thought was kind of a neat nod. But again, is this, we know that she has an important role, but this could be misdirection as well. We don't have any idea where this is set in the timeline.
Yeah, I think that shot you specifically are referring to is, to me at least, it looks like a definite like reference to that Ripley scene in Aliens. Like the sling around, you know, over her shoulder, she's just stepping out of a, like, looks like an elevator or some door or something. Like it's so Aliens. And it looks good.
Yeah. My 11-year-old daughter immediately was like, that's the elevator scene in Aliens.
Yeah.
Like immediately. So
we got some surprising news from this trailer, if you saw it at the end in the credits, in terms of who is scoring this film, which is Benjamin Wallfisch. To Patrick's citation of 2049, he did the score with Hans Zimmer for 2049. Ben Wallfisch is a fantastic composer. I'm not fully aware of his full repertoire, but I love what he did for 2049. I did see something else recently that he scored. I can't exactly remember what the film was, but I'm hoping he can really bring that atmospheric, dark melodic ambience that Jerry Goldsmith brought to Alien. Like, I'm really hoping for a score that brings us back to that place. I haven't really been that impressed with scores for the Alien films since Alien 3. So I'm really hoping that this is something that blows us all away.
It's going to be a home run. Just to that end, really quickly, Ben Wallfisch is somebody, as you know, Jamie, and listeners of Shoulder of Orion know, I go to bat for him like all the time. I think he's so underutilized and undervalued. He's never turned in a bad score. I've heard probably 8 or 9 of his movies at this point. Two that I really would recommend people seek out if you want to get a sense of how he deals with horror scoring in particular are his soundtracks for It and also the soundtrack that he did for Invisible Man from 2020. Two fantastic, I'm talking about the first It movie. Not the Tim Curry one of the modern era. Two great horror scores that are very different and very layered and very interesting and invite very close listening. I mean, like genuinely sophisticated film scoring. This is not somebody who's going to half-ass it at all. He's also a really nice guy. I've had an ongoing correspondence with him now for a few years because of the Blade Runner stuff. I'm really hoping we can get him on the show. I think we can. And that would be an amazing moment too, to get to talk to him about the process of scoring an actual Alien movie. I think we are in really good hands in that regard as well. And just to go back to the Kaylee Spaney shot, you know, Fede talked quite a bit in the interviews that he did that were released today about how he wants pretty directly to reference the other films in some ways, because he's not afraid of that lineage. Like, he doesn't want to act like it's not there. And in some ways he wants to kind of like pay deference to them without making it too Easter egg heavy, but he wants to like make it clear that these are the, you know, the reasons why he's able to make this film is because, you know, two of the great movies of the 20th century, you know, paved the way for him. And I think that's what we're seeing right here. I think he is saying in this moment, like, this is a definite homage to Ripley. That being said, I think that this character will have depth to her. I think Kaylee Spaney is obviously an incredible actress. I mean, like, her career is exploding right now for very valid reasons. The first thing I saw her in was Devs, actually, which, speaking of Alex Garland with Annihilation earlier, and she blew me the fuck away in that, you know, during, that was like right in the beginning of COVID. Like, I couldn't think about anything else. And then I saw Devs and I was transported because it was beautiful. And her performance in that is just extraordinary. Everything she's been in since has been great. She's, of course, right now in Civil War, which is very buzzworthy. She was just in Priscilla. So she's going to do a great job with this role. Like, I have no doubt whatsoever about that. And I don't think it will come across as a carbon copy. I think, you know, it's also worth pointing out that both Ridley Scott and James Cameron have seen the film, according to Fede, and both of them apparently loved it, which, again, I'm not saying apparently because, like, you know, I'm doubting that. I think they probably did love it, but I'm just, you know, it is, you know, movie promo time. Like, of course, we're going to be hearing that kind of stuff from people. But I think probably part of why they loved it is because he included things that, you know, showed that he was aware of how important those films are. Like, I think that's kind of how you do it. I mean, we just did a whole kickoff series of our Isolation series where we talked about, you know, how important it was for that film, for that game to show the importance of Alien, why it like cast such a long shadow, to like pay homage to it and then to tell its new story in that context. I think that's what we're seeing here. Like, this is a film that clearly plays in the same beautiful garden as those two movies, but is going to be its own thing.
Were there any moments that you guys thought that you weren't a fan of? Anything? We had a brief discussion in our podcast Green Room, which is our ongoing text thread, that I know, Patrick, you mentioned that seemed a little bit tropey. And again, all these things that we mention are very minor. We love what we're seeing. It feels right. And again, I did feel like the trailer felt a little bit like the trailer for Covenant. And I was like, oh, we've seen a version of this before. But again, that's just in sort of some of the audio and the setup. Everything we see in the trailer is not Covenant. One thing that Fede said that didn't alarm me, but I was like, oh, well, we'll see how this goes. He said, if Alien was a band, I would want to see all the greatest hits and some new things. And I'm like, I don't really need to see the greatest hits. I would like to see something completely different. But I trust him. I've seen his films. I love his work. It was just an odd way to articulate that. Cause I don't need to see a repeat of things that we've seen before, but it's an Alien film. We're going to see facehuggers. We're going to probably see eggs. Who knows if we'll see a queen. I doubt it. Maybe it'll just be only one alien. I have a feeling there'll be more than one. But yeah, that was interesting.
I think what he meant in that, that also kind of raised my antennas when he said that. And I think what he meant was, like, he's taking, not copying, but he's taking like the best elements from both of these films without trying to like invent the wheel from scratch. So he's taking all of these things that we like. He's obviously a fan. I think just from the way of listening to him speak, I at least got the feeling that he's a real fan of the films, and that beyond that, he really understands what made these films so good, like the fundamental building blocks, and that's what he's taking. That's maybe I'm, you know, seeing too much into this, but that's kind of the what I'm getting from him, from his previous work, from it, everything connects, and I love that. I'm very, very optimistic.
Yeah, I think like taking the vibe, not the exact elements, but what they made us feel in each of those. That's what I'm hoping for. I really liked, I have to say, I was intrigued by the scenes where they showed either anti-gravity, like the gravity was off. I thought that was a new element that I liked. I'm curious as to what's going on there. It piqued my interest. There was a lot of classic imagery and new things to kind of digest. I've watched it so many times.
That scenes when they're floating around and like the windows are blown out or something like that.
Yeah. Something's going on. And then there's like a collision, because then you can see them being like somebody's falling or being thrust into something. So.
Right. But,
yeah. So that looks interesting.
There's the scene in the hall or the corridor.
I'm watching it now.
We're all staring at it right now.
which I don't know if it's Kaylee Spaney's character. It's really quick. She looks like she's in a corridor, but there's kind of a door where she's being taken by an alien or something. I don't know, but it's also really beautiful. That's one thing I really wanted to mention with this trailer, the visuals. This is stunningly gorgeous. And one thing that I'll take away from Alien, I mean, one of the most amazing things about Alien is how beautiful that film is. Every shot, every moment is a piece of art. And from what I can tell from Romulus, it is just equally as beautiful. And for me, like, that's one of the reasons why I go to film. I go to film for the visuals, not just the story. But it to have it look so beautiful in 60 seconds, I mean, we're seeing what, an eighth, like an 80th of the film or whatever, I don't know, like a very small portion of the film. We don't know what's happening. And Veda said that there were no spoilers. But yeah, to have it be this beautiful, yeah, that, I mean, and if the dialogue is right and the characters are right, we're in for a really good time.
He did mention 2 hours during that interview. So he didn't say an hour and a half, said 2 hours, maybe he's referencing in general. I hope it's 2 hours. I completely forgot what it was. Something about the sequence. Oh, do you want to keep going like through the scenes in the trailer? Okay, so the next scene is them basically like the two characters running down the hall, which is very isolation like from the first scene in the trailer, and it looks like they're running away from something, throwing a flare as like a decoy. Maybe they figured out that that's a way, because they had gonna think about it, if they have like a space station that's infested by facehuggers and aliens, there has to be some way for them to kind of create a distraction to occupy the facehugger or the alien or whatever or whatnot. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing there. They're running down the corridor and the character behind is throwing that flare to the side. Because otherwise, you can't outrun it. It's like trying to outrun a dog. You can't. You know?
Right. Or it could be my theory on that scene, which I love also and think is very isolation also, is this could be they just docked at this station, right? They have no idea where they are. I'm assuming everybody's dead at this point on the station, and that's why there's this incredible like overrun of the creatures everywhere. I think they don't know where they are or where they're going, and they're just kind of running and trying to get out. And they might be like, they might have flares to kind of light the way back in case they get lost or something like that. Because, I remember the first day I showed up for work at the job that I've now been in for 13 years. The building that we used to be in Boston was circular. So like, I remember there were it took me a couple of weeks to figure out kind of where the beginnings and the ends of that circle were and like what direction I'd be walking in to get to different things. And it could be like that, because again, the space station from the outside that we see in the beginning looks like it's a huge, almost gyroscopic circle. That's a really disorienting space to be in, which again is a great setting for a horror film, right? Like get them lost in a loop. So maybe this is kind of how they're going to find their way out of it. But I also think, to Andy's point about the gravity sequence, which is, of course, that's like a 1 second shot, but it's so cool. Like that, in a lot of science fiction, you have these gyroscopic gravitational fields, right, in fiction, where the ship is like spinning and that's what's maintaining, like 2001 A Space Odyssey, right? Maybe like the gyroscopic stabilizer has been broken and that's like part of what's going on, and that's why this thing, maybe it's crashing, maybe this thing's in a decaying orbit. One other thing I'll say before I hand the mic over, just because I noticed that as I was playing the trailer again, I think I actually know what Isabella Merced is walking towards, because they actually show it again very briefly in the end. And it's, again, it's like three frames or something, but it looks like she's going into a cockpit and there's an explosion on the other side of it, or like a sun or something on the other. So she sees something in this cockpit and she's walking towards it. And then she ducks down onto the ground or like falls to her knees. And you see that like the light is actually coming from outside the window, or like the shield of the ship. And also you notice above the doorway, there's the semiotic standard, which we were talking about Ron Cobb earlier, beautifully and correctly used to show you that, the entrance and egress of that particular door. It's just great. I mean, you can freeze any of these shots and there's such a wealth of beauty. Like even that one little moment that I'm talking about, I have it frozen right now. You know, you can see like there are so many things in there that any Alien fan will pick up on. And I just love that.
I believe that's actually the shuttle that they come up on, because you see the cockpit at the front, you see a galley on the side straight out of the Nostromo. There's even the coffee pot is visible. And then the next shot you see the shuttle exploding or being...
Yeah, it's like leaving and there's a
leaving
explosion.
The station.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not convinced that the station is actually rotating to make gravity, because in the Alien universe, everything, including the Narcissus, has perfect Earth-like gravity. I think it may just be a circular station. And I'm basing that on the way that the windows in that curved hallway appear. You're looking out into space from the side, not... I don't know. We'll see when the movie comes out. I would love it if we had a different style of space station in this film, but I think it may just be a gigantic wheel with sci-fi gravity across the bottom of it. But yeah, we'll see.
Do you know what? So there's a moment in the trailer where it looks like it doesn't look like it is. A bunch of facehuggers come out of a doorway or something. It reminds me of Utopia from Alien, what is it, Red, White, and Blood? Where there's aliens kind of trapped behind a door. I don't know. I just got that sense. And if we cover Alien Black, Red, White, and Blood on the Hive, our Hive episode or our Hive series, which is on Patreon. So if you want to hear us talk about that new series, go up there and sign up for $4 a month. But yeah, it just reminded me of that a little bit. Like these things have been on this ship or station trapped for a long, long, long time, probably dormant, perhaps. I don't really know.
Which is unique, right? This has to be hinting at something new. We've never seen, except in the AVP movies, you know, a single egg opens and releases a single facehugger at a person, or in the case of aliens where those facehuggers had been captured, they're then scuttling around. But the idea of a group of facehuggers all being active outside of an egg, and I think there's two different shots of maybe two different doors where a horde of facehuggers are attacking. Now, you asked what my least favorite thing was, Jamie. Those facehuggers, they don't look right to me. They look very CG. They look weightless. But in that article, Fede says that they used all kinds of practical effects, that he got to help with some of the rod puppetry or whatever. So I'm going to wait for the actual film to pass judgment, because I don't know anymore. But just the way certain facehuggers would jump and the camera would exactly track with them and they would latch on, that feels like a very CGI.
Yeah,
you know,
it looked a little cartoony for sure.
It does. And I hate to say that, because I'm loving the idea. And I love, again, this implication that these facehuggers, something is going on here. That's what I'm trying to say. It's a laboratory. Something's going on.
I agree. That scene with all the facehuggers behind us, I did fear it becoming a little too cartoony for sure. Like it can go wrong very fast. Yeah.
That was also my least favorite part. I mean, it was quick enough maybe to kind of, you know, not see what we thought we were seeing or see more into it. I think it was a little too much, actually. Like, I didn't want that in the teaser. Well, a little less in regards to that. Like, CG or no CG, I think I would have liked to have been more surprised.
It was actually surprising as well to see the alien. And we only see it for the one moment I think. No, there's another moment that I think you see part of it, like part of the body, I think. I have to rewatch it again. I thought I saw it. Maybe I didn't. There's so much that's going on. It's
just
small.
The very end.
Yeah, but I felt like I saw a tail or something. Maybe I didn't, but I felt like I did. Anyways, I was even shocked to see what we did see of the alien in the trailer. I was hoping that maybe that they would keep that wrapped up, but it's called Alien Romulus. I mean, we know an alien's in it. So, you know, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Again, these are like really small, minor things. Really great work from the crew behind this film. I couldn't be more excited. And I think I said this before we started recording, but this is one of the reasons why the podcast is here, is for times like these. And yeah. I'm so excited about the next few months, because they're just going to be dropping more, and we're probably going to get like Empire Magazine or other magazines doing full spreads on this now that it's officially begun. Probably in the next few weeks, we'll see more. We'll see more behind the scenes things. So yeah, it's going to be great.
We also at the very end, so we get basically a confirmation of the date, August 16th, and only in theaters. The beginning, it was supposed to be straight to Hulu. The beginning, so only in theaters. I think we have a Prey to thank for this, you know,
yes.
Which is great, amazing, fantastic.
Last thing for me is just the costumes didn't really grab me, and that's fine. We hardly see these people, right? Even with the quick shots that are only on the Instagram version, we're not seeing too much of what they're wearing, except for there's one a male actor who he has on sort of a hooded, very, very tightly zipped up jacket. And there's a very nice Weyland Yutani logo on his chest. But I didn't get...
I think he's an android. That's the vibe I got.
The African guy, character. The black guy?
Yeah. He gives that vibe. Yep.
Also, if you look very closely, one of the scenes, you can see that one of the characters is wearing what looks to me like a Hawaiian shirt, like a red-orange Hawaiian shirt.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where's that? I didn't see that.
Let's see.
You know there's going to be like frame-by-frame posts of each frame of this, like probably today sometime.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Actually, there's one more costume piece, and that's in, again, the Instagram footage at the very beginning. We see a shot of a group of people in either hazmat gear or spacesuits that are moving some sort of a large black object towards a glowing door or a door with light pouring out. And that was fantastic. That it was a little bit evocative of the salvage crew from Aliens, a little bit evocative of the spacesuits from 2001, you know, so the costume guy here got excited about that little bit. And with the rest of it, I'm open to whatever we end up seeing. I just am glad that it wasn't something, no one was wearing anything that was glaring or stupid. They just seemed sort of functional.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I did want to come back around to those little shots that we got. And again, if you want to see what we're talking about, if you go to the 20th Century Studios Instagram page and watch the teaser through that, there, I'm assuming it's still up. There's like just a couple of little snippets, and it's mostly just, you know, actors that are in the movie looking scared. But the one that Christian is referring to, it really is an evocative little moment where it looks almost like it's a palanquin. Is that what they call it when they're like processing like somebody where they're holding up like an Egyptian, you know, royal on their shoulders or something? I don't know. Whatever. This is a live episode. But it looks like they're carrying something, you know, tragic or special or sacred almost towards, again, another glowing light, which is another kind of motif that I'm seeing in a lot of these shots, where you have this like the unmistakable, you know, opening of an alien doorway, and then you have a glowing light suffusing the frame from the inside of that out, and you have characters walking towards it, and in this case they're carrying something, they're wheeling something along with them. And as Christian mentioned, they're wearing these amazing sort of hazmat outfits. But also in addition to that, if you look, you know, the people that they're wheeling it towards they're also wearing very interesting headgear. They have like what look like to be like officer hats on or something. Some of them have like welding shields on. It just looks really interesting to me, the costuming there. I don't know. Can our costume experts weigh in on this?
It kind of looks like the medical shielding that some doctors wear. The light is so bright that I think it's you're not seeing the clear plexi on some of them. I'm trying to figure out, there's three people that are definitely in hazmat suits with their backs to us, and we can see all kinds of tubing and whatnot. And then there's at least eight, what may be people in surgical attire or in another form of hazmat suit. I don't know. It has a little bit of Arrival, that kind of quality too. I don't know.
Right.
Very, very fascinating.
So Fede, he posted a while ago, he changed his profile picture. Remember that? Which it had that salvage team. It looked like the uniform with the salvage team from Aliens. So from what I see, I think that these three suits in that scene, that's a salvage team, basically, wearing those kind of big rubber orange suit. That's what it looks like to me. So he had that profile picture of what looked like a rubber clone of himself in that suit. So I bet we'll see something of that, but it's really difficult to tell. That Hawaiian shirt that I mentioned is in second 45 of the regular trailer. You can see what looks like a dark orange or dark red with a print. And it looks like, to me, it looks like a cut of a Hawaiian shirt. I'm sure they'll, try and throw all kinds of, like Easter eggs to the original, costuming. But in general, I agree. I didn't see it's, costumes do seem pretty, not stand out too much. It is dark and there's plenty of, smoke and it's, fast cuts. So it's really difficult to see in this teaser. But I do know that there are some very, very talented people who worked on the costumes. So I'm excited to see more.
Including yourself, by the way.
In a very, very small part, very small way.
To that end, the last thing that I wanted to mention about this trailer is, so the figure that's standing in the hall and it's dark, did that remind you of anyone before you actually could tell? Like the guy who we think is an android, the tracking shot up to him, and it's dark. You can't see, you can only see his silhouette. Who, did you think it was someone else before the light came on and we could tell who he was? What I'm trying to say is, I looked like Ash. It looked like Ash's pose. He stood like Ash stood in front of the doorway in Alien. Like it just had that. He just had that stance, that kind of pensive, awkward, not sure what to do.
Oh, I'm a droid,
I'm trying to fit in.
I agree.
And I thought that was an interesting nod to Ash's character. Yeah. I don't know where that's going to go. I don't know if that was intentional on their part, but I was thinking, oh my God, it's Ash. But of course, it couldn't be Ash. And then it's revealed to be what looks to be a robot or a droid of color standing. And it looked cut between, like, he's the guy who says run. I don't know if he is, but I feel like that's the guy who tells them to run because he doesn't need to because he's a droid and they're not going to go after him.
I could see that. If you look at the scene where the facehugger jumps, the part you were talking about with the shirt, I think that's him standing by the door and he's just calm. I know it's 2 seconds, but he's not in any way alarmed.
Standing up straight.
Yes.
And arms are like, in a very androidy kind of way.
He's extended, just standing there like nonplussed while this thing's like jumping at her. I know it was like not even a second clip, but that stood out to me as well. That he's just casually standing right there.
I can't wait to learn more about this character.
I know.
It's like so, because both of those moments are so scary to me,
I have to just say one more thing. I love the coloring of this. I love all the red that we're seeing in the explosions and the blood, even like the signs of the door, the outline of him in that scene you were talking about that looks like Ash. There's like that red panel. It stood out to me. I like that color for this.
I also everything like that looks, they're... Oh, good.
No, I just want to say everything looks beautiful.
It does look beautiful. And just one, we haven't talked about the creature, the alien yet at the end, really, visually speaking. I love that they're leaning into the metallic teeth again. That's something that, I've really missed quite a bit. And they are on full display here, and it is beautiful. There are, some design differences you can tell, even though it's, just this one flash of a moment. It looks to me like it has sharp lower teeth, which is interesting. That's kind of a change. It doesn't really have a human lower jaw. The upper jaw looks kind of like it has previously, but the lower one looks a lot more kind of jagged, which I actually really like a lot. And the face itself is really narrow, which brings to mind Covenant quite a bit, for better or for worse. But it looks fresh. Like it looks like a different creature. And because we know personally some of the people who worked on it, you know, we can vouch for the amount of, you know, love they have for the franchise and how the decisions, the design decisions are definitely going to be ones that were not taken lightly. So I'm excited. I mean, it's instantly iconic. It looks great. I love that you see it in darkness and you see just the glint of teeth before you see anything else. That's a shot we really haven't seen in a long time from Alien, which I love. And I also think it's obviously clear that that's not actually what Kaylee Spaney is reacting to. Like, this very much a different sequence of the movie. It works for a teaser. And I guess that brings me back to my complaint from earlier, which again, I've retracted. It does feel, and again, it's a teaser, so that's kind of the point. It just feels like here's like every Alien trope we can throw in a 1 minute clip just to kind of give you the vibe that this is really an Alien movie. So it has like the siren, and it has, you know, kind of generic music, and it has huggers, and it has the creature itself, and it has, you know, a Ripley kind of moment. So like, in some ways, I don't love that. But the way that I came back around on it was when I heard Fede say that the trailer is coming soon too. And I was like, oh, okay, that's right. Like, the purpose of this teaser is to do what it's doing for us right now, which is to get us excited as fuck for this movie coming out and for seeing aliens looking this great again and for all this stuff. And, you know, like, the less we know about the actual story, I think the better ultimately. So I'm really hoping that when the trailer does release, which will probably again be in about a month, that we get, you know, just enough to kind of fill in some of the blanks. So we have some idea of like the kind of tone that this film is going to have, but not enough that we know all these answers yet. Because right now, like, we're in this great moment where we know like so many little things, but we can't add them up to anything cohesive yet. So it's just all this speculation and this fun. I mean, like, we're going to be talking about this stupid teaser for like weeks, you know, nonstop now. And I love that. Like, that's why we're here. So yeah. My hat off so much to Fede Alvarez, the 20th Century, to everybody involved with this. I think that they have really succeeded in creating some buzz around this film finally, because it's needed it. And that's evidenced by the fact, like I was saying, my phone basically died today because it was vibrating so much because so many people were talking about this teaser that came out, and my phone was just going off and off and off and off. And it was hot to the touch. And that to me is like, that's how you know this thing is having an impact. When people I haven't talked to in years are like, did you know there's a new Alien movie? I'm like, yeah, I definitely knew there's a new Alien movie with a teaser that came out today. I do appreciate you texting me about it. But I love that they are, because that's what we want. We want people to be reaching out to each other and be like, oh, let's go see an Alien movie together. And I can't wait to see this probably 20 fucking times, to be honest, in movie theaters. And I can't wait to see it with all of you, including Adam, because you were so close. Like, we, you know, we should really all be going to see this together. Yes. When it comes out.
Yes.
Oh, we will be.
Yes, we will.
And Christian will be too. You'll be coming down.
Yes, I will.
In the Grand North.
This conversation is going to continue in our Facebook group, Building Better Worlds. Myself and Christian are pretty active in that. Patrick is not. But no, like, if you want to, it's a very curated discussion group for listeners of the show, but fans of the film. And everyone in there is very respectful and of each other, and it's a very diverse group. So if you want to continue to talk about this, join up that group, Building Better Worlds. It's a perfect organism discussion group. And yeah, the conversation will continue. And we will be back again to discuss what else drops. We'll probably be doing more of these reactions. This is a bit of a longer one. So this is an early episode that's supposed to drop next week. But of course, you're hearing it now because we felt like it couldn't wait. But yeah, it's Alien Day is going to be quite the time this year. On top of Romulus, we have our own short film directed and written by Christian, and also produced by Perfect Organism, and it involves a lot of work from people who are a part of this podcast. So stay tuned for that. It's really going to be a great time. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Adam, for coming back on the show.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
To find out more information about Perfect Organism, the Alien Saga podcast, please go to www.perfectorganism.com. If you would like to support the show, please go to www.perfectorganism.com/support. Thank you.